Welcome to the Children's Law Podcast, brought to you by True North Child Advocates, where we believe that advocacy is the answer. Hey, everybody, this is Angela, and I'm here with Jim, and we are excited today to have Kristen Pisani-Jax, the NACC's training director. This is the first of a three-part series that we're doing with the NACC. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
So, Kristen, before we get started today, I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions. And the first one is, what brought you to the field of child welfare?
I started out as a guardian ad litem in DC, working at the Children's Law Center. I was really interested in working in the nonprofit sector as well as working with families. And I sort of came to child representation through that and never left. When I was working in DC, I really noticed a dearth of trainings, particularly for solo practitioners, and wanted to really expand my focus out and take the skills that I had learned in my practice and be able to share them around the country and also learn about how child welfare practice was going in other states and be able to work on a more national scale, which is what brought me to doing trainings at NACC.
I think you kind of answered my second one, but I'll ask it anyway. People will say, how in the world do you stay in that business? How do you not burn out?
For me, working at a well-supported organization has been key in child welfare. You're dealing with very difficult topics, challenging field of law, and you're working with people and families. And so working with other individuals who have a similar mission and vision and are there to support, be a listening ear, bounce ideas off of, keeps the work fresh and keeps you feeling supported.
Thank you, Kristen. We thought today what we might do is talk about some of the key issues that lawyers are facing today. And we know that the NACC has a ton of resources. And so what we wanted to do is highlight some of these issues and then have Kristen tell us some of the best resources that are available to all of you throughout the country. So our first issue we're going to talk about today is, of course, COVID. And I know everyone's tired of talking about it, tired of living it, looking to the future. But the truth of the matter is a lot of hearings are still happening virtually. And some of these things, these changes may continue going forward. So we wanted to just take a moment and talk about what is available and what lawyers can do to make the most of the situation that we find ourselves in.
NACC has continued to update its COVID-19 resource hub, which you can find on the policy section of our website. We were hearing about so many wonderful ideas and practice tips and resources from around the country that we really wanted to collect all in one place to help practitioners navigate the COVID-19 landscape and continue to navigate some of the things that we think might continue, such as the use of virtual hearings. There you can find some NACC-generated resources, such as open webinars that are available to all on things like tips for children's attorneys, advocacy around congregate care. We also have included the federal guidance, the letters and information memorandums that came out of the Children's Bureau during this time, as well as tip sheets for attorneys, resources on things like healthcare, sample pleadings, tech resources for best practices for virtual visits and hearings, really just a wealth of information that you can find there and apply in your own practice. And of course, you can always let us know if you have resources to add to that hub so attorneys from around the country can benefit from that collective knowledge as we all navigate this together.
So that all sounds really great. And I hope our listeners will go and check out some of these resources because they really are super helpful. Kristen, one of the things that I think a lot of people recognize is that our COVID practice has highlighted some areas in our practice that need some special attention. And I know one area on that is youth aging out of foster care. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the NACC's approach on that.
We've really been heavily focused on ensuring that youth aging out of care have what they need. And that is so challenging in non-pandemic times, but during the COVID-19 pandemic, that has been especially salient as an issue. Recently, the COVID Appropriations Act contained some really helpful provisions that we're trying to help states apply, including a moratorium on aging out and allowing youth to re-enter care if they aged out during the pandemic, as well as some increased CHAFE funds. So we did an open webinar on this topic in April. That is also available on our website, along with a toolkit that has federal guidance, practice tips around this issue. It's so crucial to implement these provisions quickly because they only last until September 30th of 2021. But I think what that's really highlighted is the issues that surround youth aging out and the need for better resources and practices to ensure youth are aging out of care with the resources that they need to transition to independence. We're hopeful that some of the policy changes and practices that developed during COVID will continue, and we will continue these discussions on what the best policies to implement are for youth aging out of care.
I'd just like to add, if you haven't listened to any of the NACC's webinars, NACC does both open ones for anyone, but they also have members-only webinars. You're starting to hear all the resources available. Kristen, what is it just for an annual membership to NACC?
An annual membership is $100 a year. However, we do have a membership sale going on through the end of May. And that is 25% off. So that makes your annual membership $75. And that includes access to all of our monthly webinars, those that are coming up, as well as all of our past ones, which are all recorded and available on our website, along with the handouts and materials for each one.
It's so worthwhile to get connected to the community. I got to check and make sure my dues are paid. I wanted to ask you, with everything going on with COVID and everything going on with coming back, stepping back into the real world or the real courtrooms again, whatever's going on around the country, in the midst of all this, Family First is being implemented. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So we're finally coming up to that implementation deadline of October of this year. And we know that there are some dramatic changes that are possible in terms of funding for prevention services to keep families out of the system, and then requirements for the system to keep youth placed in families and out of institutional care. NACC has been trying to provide resources and support for practitioners in helping navigate the implementation in their jurisdictions. We do have under our training tab a whole Family First page that includes two NACC webinars that were done on this topic, the ABA legal guide on Family First, and other resources. We are always available for technical assistance and training on this topic. We really encourage practitioners, as we navigate the new area of the law that states may be implementing in slightly different ways, to reach out and contact NACC for support or to check out some of our trainings and resources.
One of the key features of Families First is keeping kids out of group homes, institutional care. I heard a little bit about a project that NACC is working on. It's Every Kid Needs a Family Project. Could you tell us a little about that?
That's been a collaboration between the NACC, the Annie E. Casey Foundation, and the National Center for State Courts. Every Kid Needs a Family is a website that is intended to provide information and advocacy tools to assist judges, attorneys, and advocates in making decisions and ensuring that children are placed in family settings wherever possible and kept out of institutional and congregate care. There's a link to the website on NACC's website. It contains a plethora of resources, an overview of the federal law provisions related to institutional care and family placements, an attorney advocacy guide, a bench card for judges, and then some research and best practices all gathered in one place on advocacy tips, special considerations and thinking about institutional care and COVID-19. Again, Families First, resources for kinship placement, for thinking about permanency, social science research, research on the racial disparities involved in placement of youth in congregate care, policy recommendations, and then some national data so you can look at how your state's doing on placements in congregate care around the country. As Family First is implemented and has specific guidelines for courts, this is a really important area of the law for us all to be looking at. COVID highlighted how dangerous and harmful congregate care can be for youth. We hope that this site has provided resources for folks when they're going into the courtroom and thinking about how they can advocate to keep youth with families.
It seems like a moment here, maybe an aspirational moment, but a moment to really rethink something that's been entrenched in the system for so long, congregate care and just the group homes to put the older, difficult kids in. It's going to be very interesting to see this roll out and see how it affects the people on the ground.
I was just thinking that when you hear it at the policy level, it's kind of a no-brainer. It's how our system needs to evolve, and there's no question. But then I do work in some smaller counties, and when it comes all the way down to the local level and you're in court and you're trying to figure out where to place a kid, it's going to be critical to have the kind of resources that you're talking about, I encourage our audience to really go and look at what's available and be prepared, because we are the ones that are going to be on the front lines of making this happen. I'm so pleased that NACC has put so much effort into this. I think it'll be a great, great resource. Moving on to another current issue for lawyers, the Title IV-E funding opportunities. A lot of states are engaging in trying to bring this funding to the state level. It is incredibly complicated, I'll say from personal experience, but it is a source of money we haven't had. And it's really important for those states where no action is being taken, children's lawyers could be the ones pushing for this, because it can make a big difference having an extra funding stream coming in for representation of children and parents.
This is an area NACC is also eager to provide support because it coincides with our mission of ensuring high quality representation for all parties in the child welfare system. And Title IV-E funding and the opening up of funding to fund parents and children's attorneys can be one way to really ensure that quality of representation. We have developed a 4E resource page on our website under our policy tab. It has the exact language from the Child Welfare Policy Manual that supports this funding, as well as tip sheets from not just NACC, but some national organizations such as the Family Justice Initiative, the ABA, NCJ, SCJ, links to our member webinars on 4E funding, some Children's Bureau information memorandums, and then just general research on children's legal representation and the difference in outcomes that can result from having a high quality attorney for a child. Also, if you're interested in seeing how other states are implementing that, we have some sample state agreements and RFPs on that website. So you can figure out if your state's on that list and who in your state might be pursuing this funding, or if you're thinking about trying to access this funding, looking at what other states are doing as an example. NACC is also available to consult with practitioners and help them think through how to access the funding, and how to contact us regarding this issue is also found on that page.
I would add that if this is a new area for you, it's important to know that this funding does have to go through your Department of Children and Families in your state. If you don't know, you could check with the state office of your department, maybe your court improvement office. Any of those state leaders would know whether or not this process has started. And if it hasn't, then you'll have to convince them that this is a good idea and that there are a lot of states doing it. To Kristen's point, there's a lot to look at. You can learn. I know I've been talking to other states to inform my work because it is kind of brand new. We would just encourage you to get engaged, because that extra bit of funding can make a difference in the quality representation. There's no reason to leave money on the table when we all know that there's certainly a need for more. Moving to our last issue of the day, it's somewhat COVID related. I know a lot of training events have been canceled. People used to do a lot of lunch and learns, informal ways of getting together and receiving training. Some of those are canceled, some are moved to Zoom, but at the end of the day, we still need these opportunities. So we just want to take a minute it and let Kristen tell us about what NACC has there.
NACC has started the shift to virtual even before COVID, because we recognize that access to training can be an issue for practitioners around the country, particularly solo practitioners or those in rural jurisdictions. So we have been doing our monthly member webinars. We open webinars every once in a while when it is a particular topic that we want a large group of attorneys to be able to access. So you'll find some open webinars on our website related, as we mentioned, to COVID-19, but also on race equity. In 2021 so far, we've done member webinars on things like the 2020 Child Welfare Year in Review, the COVID Appropriations Act, how to advocate for crossover youth who are involved both in dependency and delinquency systems, as well as psychiatric medication. Members of NACC for $100 a year or $75 while the membership sale is going on through May can get access to all webinars once a month and then the recordings, and also get discounts on our other virtual training options. So we have our Redbook training course, which is a 7-week online course, which we put on 3 times a year, as well as our conference coming up in August, which we're really excited about.
And Kristen, a lot of these courses are CLE eligible, right? In individual states?
Absolutely. We always apply for CLE for our webinars in Colorado, which is where we are based. Many states do have reciprocity or allow attorneys to submit that way. We also are happy to work with attorneys if you have large groups from your state to figure out CLE in your state for a Redbook training course or for our conference, where we try to apply to more variety of states.
I cannot wait for the conference. I am so ready to be around all of my people in person. I'm fully vaccinated and ready to go. I hope that a lot of you are going to come. It's going to be a really great time. They've got great content that's coming out for that. And if you can't or not comfortable being in person, they've thought of everything and they have the virtual one too. John, Jim, and I are going to be there, and we are really excited and hope that we will see you there as well. Kristen, was there anything else that you wanted to highlight about the conference?
We're excited about it too. As you mentioned, we have both an on-site option in Denver from August 14th to 15th, as well as a virtual option from August 16th to 18th. We noticed that last year, virtual trainings have the ability to reach a wide range of people. And also we recognize this year that some people may not be able to or may not be comfortable traveling. So we wanted to open up that virtual option. The theme of our conference this year is From Crisis to Innovation Toward a Family-Centered Justice System. And the conference is really going to elevate and highlight the voices of those individuals most impacted by the child welfare and related systems, youth and parents with lived expertise in the system, including those disproportionately impacted by systems involvement, particularly Black and Indigenous families. We're really excited to bring plenary and breakout sessions that are going to highlight those themes, as well as speak on some of the themes that we've talked about today, advocacy during COVID, keeping children in families, and out of institutional care. We hope that you will join us live in Denver or live online for those dates. Information, registrations up on our website. And if you register for the live Denver conference, you also get access to our live virtual sessions as well as recordings.
Kristen, this has been really helpful. We are excited to see you in person in a few months. And just want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to the Children's Law Podcast, brought to you by True North Child Advocates. Please take a moment to subscribe and spread the word. Thank you.